Before I read the passage tonight, I just want to tell you why I've chosen the passage. A couple of weeks ago, when we had the snow on the ground and it was very, very cold outside, there was snow and ice on the ground, and I was working from home, as I have been for quite a long time, and I looked out my window one morning, I think it was a Monday morning, and saw a man walking down the road just past our house, outside our house, and he suddenly fell over, and it looked like a really bad fall. So I came down pretty much straight away, and Eunice rang the ambulance, and I went out to see the man, and I spoke to him and see whether there's any response at all. No response whatsoever. There was someone coming past who was going up to the hospital that almost immediately started doing CPR on him to try to revive him. Turned him over quickly and did chest compressions. And within a very short space of time, a couple of ambulances had arrived because a couple of people had called the ambulance. And I could tell that the ambulance drivers knew that it was pretty serious because they tried three lots of the electric shock treatment, defibrillator. Three times they tried that and there was no response. And eventually the man was taken into an ambulance and the ambulance drove away quite slowly. And he looked completely unresponsive. I couldn't find a pulse and he had fallen down and he had died. I think pretty sure he had died. They didn't say that. But I'm pretty sure that the man had died outside our house. What a sobering thing it is that one moment the man was walking home, perhaps he wasn't walking his dog, but he'd perhaps been out for a walk that morning. He was perhaps on his way home to his family or his wife, and he thought that he was going to have the rest of the day. He maybe going to look forward to a cup of coffee in the morning and have the rest of the day. And yet his day finished very, very suddenly. Very sobering, isn't it? There was no response whatsoever. And coming that close to seeing someone like that really made me think once more about the great need of being saved and the great need of meeting someone who has broken the power of death. So that's why I wanted to read John chapter 11. It's quite a long passage, but there's so much in it, and I just want us to have a brief look at it tonight. So John chapter 11. John 11, verse 1. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are the Gospels which speak to us about the life of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. John 11, verse 1, there was a certain man sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and Martha, her sister. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard he is sick, he remained 2 days then in the place where he was. Then after this he says to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. The disciples say to him, Rabbi, but now the Jews sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walk in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walk in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things said he, and after this he says to them, Lazarus our friend is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples therefore said to him, Lord, if he be fallen asleep, he will get well. But Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he spoke of the rest of sleep. Jesus therefore then said to them plainly, Lazarus has died, and I rejoice on your account that I was not there, in order that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas therefore, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Jesus therefore, on arriving, found him to have been 4 days already in the tomb. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary that they might console them concerning their brother. Martha then, when she heard Jesus is coming, went to meet him, But Mary sat in the house. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus says to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. Believest thou this? She says to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. And having said this, she went away and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, The teacher is come and calls thee. She, when she heard that, rises up quickly and comes to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was in the place where Martha came to meet him. The Jews therefore who were with her in the house and consoling her, seeing Mary, that she rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She goes to the tomb that she may weep there. Mary therefore, when she came where Jesus was, seeing him, fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus therefore, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews also who came with her weeping, was deeply moved in spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have you put him? They say to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The Jews therefore said, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who has opened the eyes of the blind man have caused that this man also should not have died? Jesus therefore, again deeply moved in himself, comes to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus says, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead, says to him, Lord, he stinks already, for he is 4 days there. Jesus says to her, Did I not say to thee that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? They took therefore the stone away, and Jesus lifted up his eyes on high, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, but I knew that thou always hearest me, but on account of the crowd who stand around I have said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And having said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead came forth, bound feet and hand with grave clothes. And his face was bound round with a handkerchief. Jesus says to them, Loose him and let him go. So in this passage in John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus has done one of his greatest miracles. There are many people think and believe many different things about who Jesus is. Some people say that he's just a good teacher, a good moral teacher, that he was a kind man, and that he was a prophet, and that or many, many different things that people believe about him. One of the first things that we see in this passage is that Jesus is the Son of God. He refers to himself in verse 4, the Son of God may be glorified by it. That's what I want us to see first of all in this time tonight. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. That's why John wrote his epistle. It tells us that at the end of his gospel. He tells us that at the end of his gospel that he wrote it so that we might see and know that Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing we might have life in his name. How wonderful that is. That the message of the gospel tonight, dear friends, is a message of hope. It's a message of life. We live in a world of death, don't we? Death and disease and destruction. A world of lies, as we're going to come on to in a moment. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this wicked world, this hopeless world, to come in to give it hope. And to show himself as the Son of God. Now Jesus came to a family who he loved very much. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus' life was a life of love. A life of love in action. His life was full of loving deeds. Full of pouring out the power of God in very sad situations. And this man Lazarus had got a very bad illness. We don't know what it was, but he was close to death. He was sick. But the Lord Jesus purposely stayed where he was. He didn't go to Lazarus' house straight away. He purposely stayed, carried on what he was doing in the other place for 2 days. And he did that for a reason. Every single movement of Jesus, everything that he does, is full of meaning and reason. Every moment was gave pleasure to a perfect and holy God, because Jesus led and lives a perfect, holy life. So he delays, doesn't he? But he says in verse 11, Lazarus, our friend, is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. We might think, well, Lazarus is just very tired. He's just gone to bed and he's very tired. But Jesus means more than that. The Bible often speaks about sleep in different ways. And this time Jesus is talking about sleep as physical death. So by this time, Lazarus' illness has got the better of him and he's died. Jesus is still away. He hasn't come to Lazarus' house yet, but Lazarus has died. It did remind me the other day when I saw that man how sobering it is and how swiftly life comes to an end. Life can often come to an end much quicker than we think, and it's not only just old people, it's people of all ages. How sad that is. Some of it's as a result of accident, some are as a result of ill health, many different reasons. The only person I can point you to give you hope, is the Lord Jesus Christ, because of this passage and because of so many other passages. Death, physical death, is just like sleep because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? The Lord Jesus is so great that someone who has died physically is referred to as just asleep. That's the power of Jesus. That's the good news of the Lord Jesus. So he tells them plainly, Lazarus has died. And then he goes to, eventually gets to where Lazarus' house was, and he finds that he's been 4 days in the grave. Fully, completely dead. 4 days, and he's been buried in the ground, in the tomb. And there was a great deal of upset, quite clearly, obviously. Mary and Martha were very, very upset. Jesus can enter into our circumstances. He knows how we feel. He knows when we are going through dark times and difficult times. He says elsewhere, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. That's not just rest from physical activity, that's spiritual rest. That's hope for the future. The Lord Jesus Christ sympathises with those that are suffering and those that are down and depressed. The Lord Jesus felt very deeply for Mary and Martha. But before we go on to that, Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again in verse 23. Have you noticed that? Verse 23, your brother shall rise again. Some people today say that death is the end of everything and that there is nothing after death. Jesus himself says that there will be a resurrection. Jesus himself says that there is going to be a life after this life. There is going to be a resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of those that are in the graves. Jesus himself said, wonder not at this, all who are in the graves are going to hear my voice. Everyone who is in the grave is going to hear the voice of Jesus, whether we've trusted in him or not. Some will be raised to the resurrection of life. That means for Christians, and others to the resurrection of judgment. That's why we preach the gospel tonight, so that you might be part of that resurrection of life, dear friends. It's only through trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour can you be sure that you will be part of that first resurrection. But what a wonderful statement Jesus makes in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Everything is in him. Every hope that we have, every hope of Being saved from the effect of death and sin is in him. Life is found alone in Jesus. That's what I have to announce to you tonight, dear friends. The way to eternal life. To live forever. We had a touch of that in the Sunday school in one of the songs that we sang with the young children today. To live forever. The Lord Jesus Christ gives you the opportunity to have eternal life, dear friends. In a scene, in a world of death, we offer you, through the Lord Jesus, eternal life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. Everyone who believes on me shall never die. That means never die spiritually, never die eternally. Because the Bible tells us about a second death. A death of eternal judgment away from God. A death of eternal judgment in hell as a result of our sins and the things that we have done against a holy and perfect God. Everyone that believes in me shall never die. What greater offer could there be tonight, dear friends, than the gift of eternal life? What greater gift could you receive tonight than the eternal life to bring you into heaven, into a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus, to know your sins forgiven, to know everlasting life? It is without price. What we announce tonight has infinite price, dear friends, because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for it. How touching it is that it cost him everything. It cost him to go to the cross, dear friends. It cost him to go to the cross on your behalf and mine so that you and I might have the opportunity, even at this time, at this very day, to have the opportunity to trust in him as our Lord and Saviour and be washed clean from our sins. Everyone that lives and believes on me shall never die. What a wonderful promise that is. That is a promise to everyone. Nobody is excluded from that. He says everyone. Nobody is too wicked. Nobody is too far away from God. Nobody is outside of that blessing whilst they're alive. She says to him, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. What a beautiful statement. In verse 27 of faith in the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe the same as what Mary said to Jesus, Martha said to Jesus at that time? That is the question for us today. We need to have that same belief that Martha had. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'll go on quickly to verse 33. Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And have you noticed that in verse 35, it's one of the most powerful verses of the Bible, Jesus wept. He cried. He felt very, very deep emotion at the grave of Lazarus. Some of us might have cried at someone's grave. No doubt a good number of us have. Felt the effects of death on a loved one or someone we knew. It's a very deep emotion, isn't it, to cry at someone's grave, because you know, in one sense, that you're not going to see them again. You're not going to see them again in this life. Although for the death of a believer is a triumph, in a sense, because we know that they are much more alive than before. They have eternal life with the Lord Jesus. But Jesus knows what it is to weep at someone's grave. And then he was deeply moved in himself, again in verse 38. But he tells them to do something quite striking. He says, take away the stone. And then Jesus says, did I not say to you in verse 40, that if you should believe, you should see the glory of God? That's why we need to believe, dear friends, so that we can see the glory of God. If we believe, we will see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was going to go on to the cross. He was going to go later to the cross to bear our sins in his own body. He was going to bear the punishment rightfully due to us. But here he says to Lazarus with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. That is the power of the Lord Jesus. Lazarus walked out of the grave. That, dear friends, is the greatest hope that I can offer you tonight. New life in the Lord Jesus. New life in him. He alone is able to save you from the effects of death, the effects of eternal death, which is separation from God forever. I just wanted to read very briefly about why the gospel is urgent tonight. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and it had two horns like to a lamb, and spake as a dragon, and it exercises all the authority of the first beast before it, and causes the earth and those that dwell on it to do homage to the first beast, whose wound of death was healed. And it works great signs, that it should cause even fire to come down from heaven to the earth before men. And it deceives those who dwell upon the earth, by reason of the signs which was given to it to work before the beast, saying, to those that dwell upon the earth, to make an image to the beast, which has the wound of the sword and lived. And was given to it to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should also speak, and cause that as many as should not do homage to the image of the beast should be killed. And it causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, to the free and the bondman, that they should give them a mark upon their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no one should be able to buy or sell, save that he had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. Here is wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, and its number is 666. I don't want to say much about this passage, because we haven't got time, but it's a very dark passage, a passage of a terrible time which is soon coming upon this earth. But I just wanted to highlight some things briefly. It is deception, verse 14. It deceives those that dwell upon the earth. There are many signs today that are foreshadowing these events, that are showing that these events are coming very soon. There is a rise in deception. It deceives those that live upon the earth. And you notice that in verse 16, their right hand or upon their forehead. Something is put onto people's or into people's bodies, so that in verse 17 they would not be able to buy or sell without the name of that, without the mark or the number of its name. There is a terrible time of oppression that's coming on this earth, and there are many signs that are pointing towards it. That's why the gospel is urgent. And the number 666, many people have heard about that before. There are many things today. Think about what we see in the events today. That shows how urgent the gospel is. Because this terribly dark time is coming on the earth very soon. But God's people will be taken out. God's people are going to be taken home to heaven by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. I just read that because I want to remind ourselves how urgent the gospel is. That man that was walking down the road didn't know that his life was going to end at 9:30 or that we're about thereabouts on Monday morning. The gospel is urgent, and there are many signs that that dark picture that we have in Revelation is coming very soon. And I just wanted to read one more. I know I read a lot of scripture tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, just two verses, to finish on a wonderful note for the believer. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our commonwealth has its existence in the heavens, from which also we await the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, who shall transform our body of humiliation into conformity to his body of glory, according to the working of the power which he has to subdue all things to himself. I wanted to finish on a positive note. The gospel is so urgent because of the time of evil that's coming, but the Lord Jesus Christ will transform the body of every true believer from a body of humiliation, that means a physical body of death that gets ill and sick and dies, into a body of glory. What a beautiful hope there is before every true believer, because he has the power to subdue all things to himself. What a wonderful hope lies before every true Christian, every true believer, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus is coming soon to take his own. He's coming soon to take every true Christian from this earth. It doesn't matter how old or young we are, by trusting in him as our Lord and Saviour, we will be saved for time and for eternity, for his name's sake. Amen.